before we start this meeting, this week and next week, we are dealing with safety in our schools. This same, the Children of South Africa has done a wonderful job when it comes to working with the Department of Education, having programs when it comes to the issues of safety. So when they touched us, they loved to share with us their experiences and what they are doing for the Children of South Africa, mostly in our schools. So it was worth it to have them to come and join us so that we can share experiences with them, because it will even help us to do our oversight even better when we know exactly what is it that they are dealing with. But before we even allow them, honourable members and colleagues, I think the issue of safety is quite worrying. I'm so sad even to announce that last week Friday, the deputy president of one of our stakeholders in NATO was gunned down in Devon. The way, the manner when they tell the story, you can see that really people no longer take life, you know, as a precious gift from God or whatever. It's so cheap now to take the life of a person. If they explain that he was shot at, he managed to drive and ran away. Six men were following him until they reached the hospital. He left the car on the door of the hospital, rushed in, bleeding like that. They followed him. Even you could see that really the issue of safety, because this is a teacher. It's quite bad, really. Yes, we talk of this issue of safety to the children, the learners, but also the teachers, the whole environment, it's becoming bad. I really don't know what is happening, but those were very sad news that we had. But fortunately, he survived. I talked to Mr. Ngobo, their president, this morning also. He promised to say no. He's much, much better. He will survive, but it was such a bad thing. We cannot say it's adding to the political violence in KZN. I don't want to get there, but for this one specifically, this is education. This is our center. So that is why we are really concerned if we can see the teachers being attacked the way that men, women, and Thompson were attacked. But on behalf of the Protocol Committee, I did wish him a speedy recovery, and I'm happy to hear that he is recovering soon. So this is a very short presentation that we are going to be engaging with, to hear what is it that even other stakeholders in the country at large can do to make sure that our children are safe, whether they are in school or outside the school. But we know that our concern mostly is what is happening with our children when they are in school. What are they exposed to? What is it that can be done? So I'm not sure, Ms. Brown, whether there are any apologies for today's meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I've got really an apology from Honourable Chwaku, who will be able to join us this morning. And Honourable Bortus will be joining us a bit later, as he's only just been arrived. Thank you. Oh, and of course, Honourable Chaisa, when he's not here, he's always at another committee because of his situation. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And also, Honourable members, can I also put my apology as to say around 12 past 10, can I be excused? I have
Bishop, you're not allowing me.
We'll be finished by 4 o'clock today. Can I be excused, really, to preside over one of the portfolio committees that are sitting by the time of the meeting? Then, it's a pity we're meeting people that we don't know, but I know the CEO, we have worked with here as a committee. Most of us know the CEO of Save the Children of South Africa. But it will be, we can just introduce ourselves quickly. Maybe with us or the Children of South Africa, as we engage, as we continue, we'll learn to know that it's honorable way. But can I allow you to introduce yourselves then before you get into your presentation?
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. It's like I'm back home, except that it's not as traumatic as it used to be when I was still a public servant. So it's much more relaxed now. I can breathe. My name is Gugundebele. I'm the CEO of Save the Children South Africa.
Good morning, Honorable. My name is Gugu Kava. I'm the Program Director in Save the Children South Africa.
What is the program director, as in when they are found, you
direct
the program?
Yes, I oversee programs that we are providing in faith. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Richard Monsu. I'm the Child Rights Governance Program Manager for Save the Children South Africa.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Debris Kosana. I'm the Child Protection Program Manager.
Thank you
very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members, for giving us the opportunity to come in and talk to you. We promise that we will be brief, but we also hope that the engagement will not be brief, because we are dealing with, as you have rightly said, it's a very serious issue that we are bringing on the table. And because you will be leaving, what I will do, my part, I'm hoping the slides have been circulated so we get a sense of who we are as the children. So I'll be briefly introducing the organization and then allow Gugu to talk to what we are about here. But I thought maybe as a start, is just to say that I'm sure even as we are sitting here, by the time we finish this meeting, there will be a child that either has been abused or killed. Just yesterday we were reading in the newspapers about a child who is 3 years old that has been abducted. They don't know where she is. And chances are they're probably going to find her there. In Mamelodi last week, we had an autistic child who couldn't speak, taken from home, found in the river. Here, in one of the Kailish, I think, was a child that was found in the park. It's a daily thing. And the reason I'm raising it is because I think, and as an organization, we think that as a country, we've been numb to the situation of children. We are not as enraged as I think we should be around the plight of children. We look forward to a time when one of the marches we will have that are seriously big would be our state of disgust with the way that we treat children. But what is common with all of the children that we're talking about, in most instances, they're killed and abused by people that they trust. People who are custodians of children, people who are supposed to be caring for children. So in many instances, we're not even talking strangers. We're talking people who are looking after children, whether it's parents, whether it's caregivers, whether it's teachers. Those are the people that are normally molesting our children. And I think also what you will see when we talk to the study is that the consequences of us not dealing with violence are very dire, not just for the child, for the country, for you and me as they're sitting here. And we will share with you what the cost of not dealing with violence is in monetary terms, but also in social terms. What you will hear today is why it matters, why it's important that we talk about it and engage with them and do something. To you as an individual, to you as a parent, as a citizen, but also to hopefully work with you as the committee across all the political parties, as citizens of countries of the country, to say what is it that we can jointly do together to deal with this issue of violence. Save the Children is a child rights organization. We have a very simple mission. We believe that we need to do and we do whatever it takes for our children. We are fiercely independent because our primary stakeholder is the child. We have ambitious goals for children even though we are an NGO, because we believe that if we are not ambitious for children, who else will be? We are focused, it's a child rights and child-centered approach. And we have, as you will see here, very good staff members that deliver practical As I said, we do whatever it takes. We believe every child deserves a chance. We are driven by the rights of the child. And we believe every child has a right to go to school, stay in school, and succeed. So the right to education is very important for us. We believe that every child should be protected from harm, which is what we're going to be talking about. But we also believe that every child has a right to health and caring. We are in 5 provinces. And creeping on to the 6th province, we are in Gauteng, Limpopo, Parts of Mpumalanga, Free State, and KZN. We are working hard to get into the Eastern Cape, but that's a story for another day. Our programs, we do education. Our focus is on early childhood development, because we believe if you don't take an early, you chase a problem. And so we're focusing on early childhood development, health and nutrition, child protection, and child rights governance. I will skip on the slide on the right, but it's just to indicate that we are guided by international, national, and regional conventions. I will also skip that because I think we've spoken about it, but we recognize the child's right as part of human rights, which is why I made the appeal earlier, and I appreciate the comments that were made by the chair, because sometimes it's very difficult to ignore. It's very easy to ignore the rights of the child. We deliberately focus on the marginalized, vulnerable, and other children in need across the spectrum. We protect and address the rights and holistic needs of all children. Our approach is that you can't divide the child. So you can't really look at just education, you look holistically at what the child is. But most importantly, we believe in, as an organization, in creating a platform for children's voices to be heard. Whether through us, if they are young, which is what we're going to do today, but also to create a platform for adolescents so that they articulate what their rights are, but also what their responsibilities are and what they expect from all of us. The next slide really speaks to how our thematic areas, the ones that I spoke about, are captured in the different rights. So if you look at the Bill of Rights, you see that around social rights, there's a right to life. We deal with it in education, health, and nutrition, etc., etc., etc. I want to go to ECD. I've spoken about, and I've got my child rights person here who will speak about child rights governance. But a big area of what we do is ECD. You will see from on the right hand side is the statistics that inform the work that we do and why it's important that as a country we focus on ECD. I think it is, while it is good that we get obsessed with metric pathways, we also need to understand that what happens at the end is determined by how you started. So if you don't invest in early childhood development, you chase time and you spend a lot of time trying to fix what has already been broken. And so our goal is to ensure that we work with early childhood centers to increase early access to ECCD services. And I want to indicate also that for us it's not just about babysitting. For us, our approach to early childhood is really providing health and nutrition, early stimulation, health and nutrition, and all of those things. We work with teachers to improve their competencies around literacy and mathematics. We transform our existing centers. We've got existing centers in different provinces so that they become multi-purpose centers of excellence. And so in those centers, we provide ECD, but also extra classes for adolescents. We improve access to inclusive education, and we help communities to support schools and teachers. The last one is very important for us, Chair, because we believe that schools are centers of community life. And if communities are not engaged in the way that schools are functioning, in fact, one of the determinants of quality in schools is how engaged the communities are, whether through the SGPs or in communities themselves. We also work in ECD. These are the programs that we do in ECD. If you look at the at that slide, you see where we work and what we do. I leave it for the honourable members to look at. This is what we do around health. Again, our belief is that no child should die from preventable causes, and these are the kinds of work that we do. In terms of the work that you do, Chairperson, around HIV, again, you see that the statistics and the infection rates are beginning to creep up again around young people, and the children are getting pregnant at a younger age. So it means there's something that we need to do around prevention to ensure that children would stay in school, especially girls, they stay in school and finish. So we have a very intense program that we can come and talk to you later at another time on sexual and reproductive health, which we believe helps in dealing with some of the challenges that are preventing girls from finishing school in time. We've got health and nutrition. I've spoken about sexual and reproductive health, but I'm sure when you read, the honourable members will also see the kind of work that we are doing in schools and in early childhood development. We can skip that one. The slide that we skipped is really a slide that shows how everything that we do as Save the Children comes together in a centre where we work. So we provide education, we provide child protection, we give children a voice through our child rights governance program, health and nutrition, so that when you enter our spaces, you receive comprehensive provision. So the multi-purpose centers that we work with are centers that have this complexity. And so when we work with other partners, we work together to ensure that the provision that the programs that we provide are comprehensive enough. I'm going to hand over to Gugu, which is our galloping. We can then go back to what we do when we discuss. We are now going to talk specifically about child protection and some of the issues that we'd like to raise with the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO, and thank you very much to the honourable members. The slide that we are looking at right now is showing us the realities that a child goes through. And the realities that a child goes through, as you all know, a child is vulnerable, which means when you look at this circle, you need to also imagine that on a child is the family, on top of the child. And on the family is the community, and on the community is society. And what now the child is experiencing, as the CEO has indicated, we have children that are heading homes. We have children that are migratory. We have children that have parents that are working, which means children take care of themselves. In the family, you have social ills, like parents that are maybe having good relationships, some don't have good relationships. And the fact that children observe unhappiness in their homestead, it means it affects them. We have society that has so much poverty, and eventually the right of a child to be cared for is affected by the poverty that is around a child. And we have society that has moral values that are changing, and changing for the worst, which means the child again is affected by the society that they are living in. And now, as Save the Children, we are noting that currently more than 55% of children are affected by physical abuse. Physical abuse that is happening within the home, and physical abuse that is happening in the school and the society. We have children that, yes, we are able to record physical abuse because we can see it. But we have sexual abuse that is currently reported beneath physical abuse. And yet you and I know that there's more sexual abuse that is not reported. We also have children, as I said earlier, that are witnessing, and later on I'll be showing you, just by witnessing violence in a home setting, children get affected. In the end, we have our jails full of children that have just witnessed violence. We have children that are, meaning in every three children in South Africa, children are sexually abused. And I want to emphasize the fact that one in three may be very low in South Africa. Now, we want to also share then with you a study that we did to analyze the social and economic burden of violence that is taking place in children. We looked at why, what exactly is happening and why and how is it happening, and then we summarized the results. I'll just quickly share the results with you. As I said, it's social and economic burden. And what we note is that it is happening. In fact, we conducted the study because we needed to analyze the magnitude of the violence. How is it affecting us as a country? We clearly know that the quality of life of children is affected for the rest of their life. Such that a child who experiences violence at a young age, they are unlikely to earn as much as their same counterpart who did not experience violence. So our reason for conducting this analysis, we noted that the country is suffering because of our inability as families, as communities, as society to take care of our children when they're still young. So now what I want to share with you is the result. If as a country we could deal with violence that a child experiences, one, we can be able to reduce sexually transmitted infections. We can be able to reduce children that are using the needle or injectable drugs. We can be able to reduce children that are abusing alcohol. We can be able to reduce children that are self-harming. And we can be able to reduce anxiety and all other mental disorders that we are experiencing because of the violence that children are exposed to. And in an analysis that we did to check the likelihood of how, for instance, sexual violence in this case, when a child experiences sexual violence, we have problems. But now that we did not act as a country, we have more anxiety. We have more alcohol abuse, as I said earlier. We have more STDs. So now this study is telling us that if we could deal with sexual violence, we can be able to reduce. It's just that I don't have a pointer, but if you look at the total, the rate, if we deal with sexual violence, we can reduce 14% of people that are abusing drugs. And I earlier on talked to self-harm. If we reduce sexual violence that is occurring on children, we can be able to improve the rate of HIV by 5%, which means we can reduce people that are being exposed to HIV. The other one is showing us that physical violence as it occurs to children, if we manage to reduce sexual, physical violence from taking place on children, we can be able to eventually have maybe 13% of the people that are in our mental institutions not there, which means we can reduce mental illnesses if we deal with violence that is happening in children. Remember, the child is affected at a young age, but the consequences take place for the rest of their lives. So it means some of the people that are in our mental institutions, that are in our rehabilitation centers, we can be able to reduce the numbers of those people if we manage violence properly. Emotional violence. If we do not expose a child to emotional violence as a country, we can be able to reduce self-harm by 15%. If we do not neglect a child, earlier on I said the problem that the child experiences is that the parents are at work, the child is left alone to take care of themselves. And yet we know, the research has told us that a child needs a carer, a responsible carer who's available for them. At times it may not be the parent, but the presence of a responsible adult is important. It helps the child not to be neglected. But now, if the child is neglected and we don't do anything about it, we expose the child to sexual transmitted infections, to anxiety, to depression. But now the study is saying to us, if we are able to not expose the child to neglect, we can reduce 16% of the likely depressions that we are seeing out there. And same with witnessing violence. For me, this was profound because just seeing violence, a child changes the way they think, the way they learn, the way they deal with society, which means even the interpersonal problems that we are seeing are simply because of observing violence, because it makes a child to to be 10. Now, I want to share, because I noted that there's a challenge in terms of time. I earlier on indicated that because of physical abuse, 11.7% of our people have a reduced earning because of physical violence. Because of emotional violence, 9.2 people in our society have less earnings. And we could list all of the ills that we referred to earlier. Now, what I'd like to then share is that in 2015, because this study was done between 2014 and 2015, in 2015, South Africa lost 2.38 billion in GDP simply because we did not respond to violence that is occurring to children. And as we sit here, because this is 2016, honorable members, 2017, we lost more than these billions that I'm showing you. And how it has been divided is that physical violence lost us 129 billion and so on, as you see the picture. And again, sexual violence is stated as 0.7%, which is about 28 billion, which we strongly believe is not true. There could be more. And this is the gist of the study, because it's showing us that at whatever department you are at, you have a responsibility to contribute to reducing violence, because if we don't, it costs the country a lot of money. Now, as Save the Children, the CEO indicated some of the programs that we are implementing, and we also would like to share some of those that we are also still implementing. We are noting that if we do not manage violence as a collective, we will never win. And thus we are saying it's important to invest in preventing violence from occurring at all, because 238 billion is lost simply because we didn't prevent it. One, we need effective and skilled professionals in order to do that. Be it home affairs, be it health, be it agriculture, be it the Department of Education. They need to be effective and they need to be skilled. Because when children report violence, at times they don't talk about it, but they act it, you can see it. So if we don't have effective skilled professionals, they won't even be able to pick it up. And we need good quality early childhood development services. Because in early childhood development, within the first 1,000 days, you are able to shape the life of the child for the better. And if we have skilled professionals at that platform, we will be able to social emotionally give our children a good foundation. Education for us, education of communities. One, just the understanding of violence. Chances are high that as we sit here today, we have a different definition of violence. So it's important for all of us to be educated on what exactly is violence. Violence is harm. Any form of action that will cause harm on an individual is violent. And if we don't see it that way, because we end up disregarding violence from occurring, and yet it's got such dire effects on the people. We also need good role models in the home setting and outside the home setting. And we also agree that, okay, now that violence has occurred, what should be done? We are promoting the fact that we need to respond immediately. Currently, there's under-reporting of violence simply because maybe there's stigma, maybe there's a threat to the people that should be reporting, but we need to improve our reporting system so that people can report in different platforms and be heard, which means there should be a response immediately. Currently, research is telling us that out of every 300 cases that are reported of different forms of violence, two are resolved. What does that mean? It means those skilled professionals that we need are not responsive enough. So that's in this platform, as the honorable members, we are appealing to the fact that let's talk about the value of responding immediately when a case is reported. We need psychosocial support. The good thing is that, and maybe the bad thing again, is that psychosocial support is required for the service providers and the children themselves, because currently we are also dealing with remedial support for the people that are providing the services. We can have an extensive discussion later about it. We need to manage the complications of violence better than we are currently, because we are seeing all sorts of social ills increasing simply because we are at a state stage whereby the effects of violence are complicating. And in the system, we would like to see better leadership, strong political will, and strong governance. And as a country, we all know we've got good policies, but their implementation is a challenge. And we also need to generate new evidence on a regular basis so that we can be able to back up our intervention. And earlier on, we also spoke to the interventions that Save the Children is doing. Very important for us to indicate that, having noted that there's parenting challenges, Save the Children is providing positive parenting education for parents. And when we call it positive parenting, because it's parenting that arms the caregiver and the parent to be able to provide supportive and a good therapeutic and learning environment for a child. And we also have developed a violence against children app in order to help children, whether they're at school or at home, to be able to report. And it's not only children that can report, even adults can report violence that they observe so that there is a response. And this must be connected to social development systems in order for it to be able to be effective. And we have created child protection committees, and we're also working with children leadership councils in order to empower children so that they can be able to speak up for themselves and help us manage violence. And we are also advocating, as advocates for the rights of a child, we're advocating in different platforms. We are also supporting collaborations, because we know that as Save the Children alone, we can do this bit, but we need more role players that are going to help us to improve the platform on violence. I'd like to pause on this slide, because this is what we would like to propose to the honorable members in this committee to help us in managing violence, and then we can have a conversation. I'll just flag it and leave it like this, because I'm sure honorable members will add to some of the things that we are proposing and saying. At this point, I'm going to ask my colleagues if I could have left something that they can contribute to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any additions? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Save Children South Africa. Though, as I'm seated listening to your presentation right now, I see that we missed a point of where maybe you should have even requested social development, where we would have had a very good joint committee meeting, because most of the issues that you're coming with, they touch both of us as these committees, and mostly we at Basic Education are mostly the beneficiaries of what comes out from the social development and all the things that you have been touching, but they're not here, it's fine. We are the beneficiaries from these children that do not get, that get exposed to all the things that you have mentioned. I think they end up with us, and that is where we, most of those consequences are being found. But also, as you did your presentation, I think there are even slides that for me were a little bit important, like the literacy boost, what is it that you actually do? Because it's one area, even at Basic Education, where we're lacking a lot, where you say, how can we instill the love and the skills of reading from the very very early ages moving forward, is to see that the child is going to succeed. Even those adolescent classes, what is it? Where are they? What is the best happening? When we do our oversight, we go back to our constituencies. These are the centers that all of us can be happy to go and visit in these provinces where you said you are available. So, but as we are going to get into discussions, I think those are the things that we need to hear more and learn about. Honourable members, that was a very short and brief presentation. Can we just interact with, as we said, our meeting won't be that much long today, just interact with what they are contributing towards our education system. Can I start with you, Honourable Machege, Honourable Fasson, Honourable Costa,
Honourable Walshaw. Honourable Majega.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. We appreciate the good work that the Children of South Africa is doing. I've got only two questions to ask. You only operate in five provinces, as you say. Since this establishment has been long for so many years, dating back, okay, I say 1919, 1924, and 1930, why are you not operating in other provinces since you call yourself Save the South African Children? And secondly, how do you fund your study projects? Thank you very much.
Okay, another person.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure Majeke has just taken my question. The third one to add on what Mr. Majeke is just a point of clarity. I would like to know, then what, if you get these problems and these children, then what as an organization, what do we do in order to assist these children? More especially, I think that a child maybe is abused at home and is abused by the closest people to the child. Then you as an organization, what is your next step or what do you do? And what is your relationship or how is your relationship with the other stakeholders like DPE, social services, social development and what? The five provinces you have mentioned, do you work with communities or do you work with schools or what is your line of operation? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chair, if it has been spoken to the issue that they've been there for 99 years, but my question would be, what is it that needs to be done to ensure that you are visible in all provinces and even in communities? Because in your presentation you indicated you are in Mpumalanga, partly in Mpumalanga, partly. It means that if you are partly in Mpumalanga, you are not in the whole province, meaning that you are in five and half of the province. What needs to be done so that we ensure that the good work that you are doing is going to is assisting the whole country. The other issue I wanted to check with you is with regard the professionals, skilled professionals that you are having. How many are there? How many do you need if really you have shortage? Are you working in relation with the victim empowerment centers as well as SAPS? I'm asking SAPS because there is also a challenge with SAPS. What relationship is there between you and SAPS? Because if I may give an example, early this year I went to a police station to certify, but I found two children opening a case. The manner in which the policewoman was treating the children, I ended up intervening to say no, but I don't think they will be able to be assisted the way you are treating them. Mm. So what is it that you are assisting SAPS to ensure that even children, when they go to report a case, they are assisted correctly? Maybe why don't we have professional people in such police stations to ensure that when children come, they be treated differently, like us when I go to report that
I've been beaten by a washing rag by my wife. They laugh at me. Thank you very much.
They are.
You are laughing at me.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to everybody, and thank you for the presentation. I think this is an issue that lies close to the heart of many people. On slide 9, you speak about the plans that you have in place to improve ECD practitioners. Could you just share with us what these plans are and how you implement them in a schooling environment? And then with regard to the access to inclusive education, you know it's a bone of contention because the Department of Basic Education throughout the provinces have waiting lists that are a mile long. What are your plans to ensure that our special need learners get the attention that they need from an early age to enable them to be able to enter the schooling environment? You speak of comprehensive provision at centres. Does this include teachers that are at these centres, or are they just trainees from Save the Child? You speak of 55% of children suffer from physical abuse. Do you know how many of these children suffer from sexual abuse? If we could get the percentages with regard to the various abuses that there are. And do you have any statistics on how many child-headed households there are so that we can also just get a determination on that regard? And then have you done any study with regard to transport for learners from their homes to school? Because many of our learners walk to school, and that's where many of these abuses take place. If we could just get figures on that, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Jude. Thank you, Honourable Murchison.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to say, you know what, we've also been running a campaign for safety of schools, whereby we looked at various aspects of, you know, what actually constitutes ensuring that, you know, learners are safe at school. And I see that, you know, you've quite covered a lot of angles that we never really thought of. But in terms of looking at the register, like in terms of, you know, social development, having the child registered, you know, to actually be able to say, you know, when teachers at schools, you know, abusing learners, but making sure that the teachers, should they abuse a child at school, that they end up on the child protection register. I just want to find out, because I didn't see you mentioning that it's actually an issue, because it looks like the teachers are not really vetted before they get to a school. What we heard from SAIS recently was the fact that they were saying that only in January next year that they will the teachers will be obliged. If you go to a school, you'll be obliged to go to a police station to have some kind of a clearance to say, I haven't abused any child. So I just want to find out, you know, what on that side, you know, what is your angle? Have you spoken to social development? Do you know what? And also in terms of when you talk about costs as well, you know, the sexual register, we found out as well that, you know, the issues there is not really the names that are there are not updated. And also now we also find out that, like, yes, they do have names, but those are not really people that have committed sexual abuse, so they are actually going to that. So on your side, what is it that you are doing? Are you also interacting with the cost in those terms? What is also interesting is the fact that you're saying only 29% of learners access ECDs. I recently was in Machabeng, you know, in the Free State, north of the Free State. And I can tell you, when we were walking in that ward, children were in the street. It was 9 o'clock during the day in the morning, with men, unemployed men, being the ones that are basically minding the learners. So it was very, very shocking to me to see, like, you know, we have children that are sitting at home and are supposed to be in ECD at school. So what is it that you're doing to ensure, I mean, we are also, you know, as committees, we are advocating for this school, so we are working in partnership with you guys. Mm-hmm. So what is it that you're doing to make sure that, like, you know, there is an increase? And also the infrastructure as well. So you end up taking your child to a school, and the child, the learner, falls into a pit toilet. You also did mention that, you know, the infrastructure issues that learners also, and the fact that they don't even have toilets for those that end up in ECD schools. They're not toilets. They don't have toilets that age specific for these learners. I know it's quite vast kind of issue, but I just want to find out, you know, your views on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matthew. I'm going to be sitting in for the chair, who's having another meeting. I'm sure you'll receive the apology. Honorable Mbuni.
Good morning, and God is blessed at your panel talk. I have noticed that you are doing what you started, you're always doing to check whether these kids are safe. Do you have any institution or institutions that you are working with, educational institutions that you are working with, to do the research or the study and improving what you say you are doing? I see you have got four programs: education, health, nutrition, child protection, child rights governance. I think I think it's a cluster of them. So many. Do we have capacity to do those things?
Thank you very much, members. I also had my question. I just wanted to check with you to what extent do you find favor with the decision makers, like, particularly after this extensive study that you have conducted, and also the having looked at the highlights of that study, particularly on the financial impact of non-responsiveness on the issue of safety or implementing the children's rights. I just wanted to check on that one. And then with regard to the offices, I suppose that a lot of members have already raised that matter, but I wanted to check to what extent are you ensuring that your work even happens even in provinces where you do not have offices? And then what is the funding model that you are using? Noting that you have already acknowledged and admitted that the implications for funding, they are quite huge. I'll give over to you, COO, and your team. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. And thank you very much for those engaging questions. The presentation has had the desired effect because we really wanted to have the conversation that we're having. I think just to say, one of the challenges when we were preparing the presentation was that we also understood that we are in the basic education portfolio, but we had asked to talk about protection. And so we didn't go into detail in the other areas of work that we do, but I've asked the team to respond in terms of what exactly it is, especially around ECD, etc. The questions around provinces, we really are in five provinces because those are provinces where we traditionally were, and it's a funding issue. I think that if we get more funds, we'll be able to extend to more provinces. So it's as simple as that. It's funding, it's capacity. However,
what we try and do, and when we meet in those provinces, sometimes it's because we don't have an office there, but we work with, through the department, for instance, we would work with schools in the provinces where we're not physically located in. Because our theory of change is that we work through partners. So when we say we've got practitioners, for instance, it's not practitioners that we keep as safe, but it's practitioners in schools, whether it's teachers, whether it's healthcare workers, whether it's ECD practitioners. Because the only way you're going to sustain programs is if you reinforce existing institutions and not start any institutions. We are not funded, clearly as a non-governmental organization, we're not funded by government, we don't receive government funding, and so we are forever, we spend our time writing proposals to the USAs and the EU. So we've got institutional funding, those would be the EUs, etc. We also work with corporates that have an interest in education, so we work with them also. But South Africans in general have been generally really amazing. So we fundraise. I'm sure when you go to malls, you see our young people wearing red, fundraising, individual fundraising. And that is the one that helps us to expand to more provinces. Because institutional funding is very protected. You know, they will say to you, we want you to work in this province and do this in this province. Whereas the more we're able to get unrestricted funding, the more we're able to reach more children. We also work with foundations. But like I said, a lot of the work that we do in partnership with both government departments, and they differ in their level of enthusiasm. We work very well with the Department of Basic Education. We work very well with the Department of Social Development. And obviously in the provinces, that very well depends on the leadership in the provinces. But we also work very well with universities and other NGOs. We were supposed to have come with our partners. Unfortunately, they had to do something else. So as an organization, we work with a number of child rights organizations. CJCT does school safety. They were supposed to be here. Unfortunately, we didn't apologize for them, but they sent an apology. So we do work with other partners so that we're able to reach more children more effectively. I appreciate the idea of a joint campaign, because part of the reason why we really elected to be here is that we want to complement the work that you do in communities. Because between the two of us, say the children and portfolio, we work directly with communities, and we are better able to reach different constituencies in a much better way, and reach them in different ways. One is by providing services, but also help or access in helping them access services. But the other is by generating a demand, because sometimes the communities do not have resources because they're not even able to demand what they need to get. You spoke earlier about the register. As an organization, when you work with us, we have to check, we do pre-police clearance, we check social development. Again, you find the same challenge, you know, sometimes it's not updated, you know, it's all of those, and sometimes people don't, and I know that in the teaching sector, it's even worse. Google talked to our relationship with social development. I think it needs to extend to how we clean that the register so that the information that is there is reliable and is updated. And that is much more IT-based. You know, schools should be able to press and there's a red something that comes on the screen, you know, without having to phone or to send a form. There should be some technology that enables principals to be able to put an ID number and it leads directly to social development, either it's red or green, whatever that shows that don't touch. Because I know that from education, a lot of the province, of the teachers that have been deregistered, for instance, they move from one province to another or one district to another undetected. Mm. So that requires, again, it's one of those things that we can jointly say, what kind of campaign do we put in place to push the departments to do those kinds of basics? Because for me, those are basic things that we need to do. We'll talk again about our approach to ECD. I think the issue of infrastructure, one of the reasons we spend a long time on our definition of protection is precisely that. that sometimes when you talk of school safety, people think violence as physical violence. They don't really think of distance to toilet, the lighting in the toilet itself, because that's where some of the rapes happen. But the pit latrines, it's a safety issue. So when you approach safety, school safety, you look at not just the programmatic aspect, you look at the physical aspect, you look at the psychosocial aspect, and those are the ones that get us in trouble all the time. And I think it's important that when we do investments, I mean, we are working now, we are challenging, because of the fiercely independent, even though we work with basic education, we're also saying we can't have a protracted program of infrastructure that doesn't come to an end, because our children are dying every day on something that we could prevent. And so for us, those are very important issues. As an NGO, though, there is only so much that we can do. You know, it's very easy sometimes when you are good at what you do, that then people expect you to do everything. In fact, our biggest challenge with the department is that they start expecting us to do what they need to do. And so we have to find a balance of complementing, because our job is to complement. Our primary objective is to reach more children. And you can only reach them through departments, through schools. So our primary objective is to support teachers to do well, schools to do well, to be managed well. But ultimately, it's also to ensure that governments and departments don't abdicate their responsibility to provide what they need to provide whilst we support them. I've left some of the issues for my colleagues, and I'll pick up the, if they've left some. But I think if you can just share with the portfolio committee, especially around literacy, ECD, what the programs that we do, and some of the questions around inclusive education, which is a very similar challenge.
Oh, all right. That's that. I'm just saying, like, that will give you details in terms of education. Okay. In terms of literacy and numeracy, you and I know the challenges that we deal with and the inability to increase the rate of children that have high standards in terms of literacy and numeracy. So since the children from way back developed a package to improve capacitating teachers that are teaching children on literacy and numeracy. And an example we have right now is that the whole of Free State, we have a program that is called Accelerated Early Grade Reading that we are implementing together with the Free State Provincial Education and the National Department of Basic Education. This is a package that we all agree that can help in improving the quality of African and home language and English education. So what we do, there's a workshop for the teachers that are teaching literacy, and after that there's mentoring for these teachers as they go to teach a child so that we can improve the outcomes of that teaching. As I said, the skilling of the professionals will help them to be able to transfer the education and we get good quality education. And then the other thing that we're currently doing is to develop numeracy and literacy teachers from university level. And it has been noted that when a teacher learner is at university and there's little support for them, we have a high failure rate of those teachers. So this district-based teacher recruitment strategy was developed in order to improve the pass rate of numeracy and literacy teachers. So what is done is that, one, even in the recruitment of those students that are going into university, we are involved. We are working with Funza Lushaka and the Department of Basic Education. So the recruitment is specific to say, do you want to be a future teacher? Do you have the basic content right now as you are studying at matric level? And then Funza Lushaka, as you know, working with NAFSAS, we organize bazaars for these students. We have 50 per year. We have two groups as we speak. registered with UNISTA, also registered with Northwest University. And then what Save the Children now is doing, as soon as enrollment is happening, the student teacher learner is babied. In the sense of content, in the sense of when they go to practice, what should they focus on, and our pass rate has been noted to be around 94%, simply because it's been clear that even when they go through university, they end up failing if they don't have support. So that is what we do. Then the other thing that we do in terms of learning, we have a project that we call Tutokilefa. Tutokilefa is funded by Italy, and we also have a project that is also funded by a philanthropist that was starting in KZN, again focusing on literacy and numeracy. So what we have done now with the numeracy and literacy packages, we're starting them at early childhood development, which means between 4 years and 6 years, you are already being taught on how to be good in numeracy and literacy. Then it goes into the foundation phase. So that's some of the programs that we have. And now somebody asked about infrastructure in early childhood development. We've recently acquired a project that we call Happy Living and Happy Learning that is going to contribute into developing structures of early childhood development, which means our focus right now is the fact that our ECD centers don't have library facilities, just basic libraries. Even books at that level are very important, and this is relevant and appropriate books for a child at that age. That's what we have looked at. And then we work with local government. My colleagues will end right now. Because, as you know, early childhood development centers have bylaws that guide them on what the structure should look like. What are the toilets relevant? Are the lighting system relevant? So we are working with local government for centers to adhere to those bylaws so that they can be registered properly. That's another difficult area, but we are contributing to supporting them. So for now, that's basically it. I'll give Dudu a chance to add to some of the
Before Google adds, I wanted to just to talk to that teacher recruitment strategy. What also makes it unique is that we, as I'm sure as honorable members, you know that a lot of our teachers, especially from university, finish their degree without having seen the classroom in terms of practice. They practice maybe the year four or something like that. What we do with these young children is that from year one, we introduce them to the classroom. So the relationship with the Department of Education in the Free State is that they give them access to school so that they're able to observe teaching. And by the time they finish the degree, they will have had some teacher practice and know what the condition, know what the teaching is about. And you might ask why Free State. Free State, every province has an appetite. Free State has got an incredible appetite for partnerships. And I think maybe that's why they do so well. So they're very open to working with other partners. The last point I wanted to say that I had forgotten is that the 23%, the 29% that you're talking about is not even looking at the quality, because a lot of those children that are even in ECD centers, the quality of provision is so bad. It's like babysitting centers. So sometimes we say 29%, when practically it could be 10% if you're looking at whether they are being stimulated or whether they're just being looked after.
Thank you. Maybe I would also to qualify the ECD that we also work with ECD practitioners in different provinces, where we train the ECD practitioners on positive discipline in everyday teaching. We also train educators in basic education also on positive discipline in everyday teaching, which is an alternative to corporal punishment. That is a program that an evidence-based program that Save the Children developed. And right now we are hoping that through this committee we could also accelerate the training of educators to other provinces. We're looking at the approach of training the school safety district officials on this program, so that the school safety officials could then train the educators in their district and then monitor how the teachers are implementing the program as it is designed. So somebody asked who do we work with in provinces. We work at different levels. We work at a provincial level where we work with the district, the provincial department, provincial department of education, provincial department of social development. We also work very closely with SAPS and the victim empowerment centers through our different forums that we have in different provinces. We reach out to train officials on the issue of violence, for instance. We train them on also child rights, because we believe that if we train people who are working, like one of the members asked, you know, people who work, who interact with children, need to know children's rights. They need to know what is violence, what constitutes violence, because a child goes to report an issue of violence and then get violated by the system itself. So we do a lot of those. Yes, we don't have much capacity, but we believe we can be strategic in how we pass down the programs that we provide and save the children. I'll let my colleague to add on child rights governance.
Thank you. I guess in terms of child governance is responding to the issue of infrastructures, which is a key issue in terms of protection of children. As part of our child governance, we work with local municipality to ensure that we build the capacity to prioritize children's issues into the municipal plans and budget. So what we work with municipality, we advise them as and when there's opportunity to roll out water and sanitation, they must think about ECD in the municipalities, must think about schools, must think about drop-in center to ensure that they've got running water and sanitations, in terms of ensuring that when, in terms of their responsibility regarding to safety, ensure that also they think about children. So we are trying to help municipality to respond to some of the issues to enable children to also access education and be safe. One of the issues that children raised when we interact with them was that when it rains, they can't go to school, because between the community and the school there's a river. As a result, when it rains, it means they cannot cross the river. That's the malfunction of municipality. So we help them to understand that by creating that bridge, they help a child to access education. Some of them will complain that they have to go through forest to go to school, which is the issue of safety. Then work with municipality to ensure that they should ensure that they create safe path for children to access school. The whole issue of mobile libraries and infrastructure, because that's the mandate of the municipalities as per Chapter 7 of our Constitution. So what we try to do, try to work in very integrated fashion to ensure that we bring other key stakeholders on board to ensure that safety of children is promoted either in school, ECDs, or in community-based resource centers. The other question was in terms of how do we help children to the issue that one of the members referred to, in terms of how police handle some of the cases. Part of what we are trying to advocate for child-friendly services, be it within the police station, so that we educate, help officials to be responsive, to create conducive environment for children, whether it's in the clinic, because more often than not, children cannot disclose some of the issues because of the manner in which the professionals approach them. So we also work with them so that they create very enabling and child-friendly environment for children. So that when they come to a police station, whether they come to a clinic, whether they come to Home Affairs, they feel welcome and then the service is very child-friendly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me also respond to some of the questions that were raised around the numbers. We indicated that physical violence, it's around 29%. Sexual violence right now is being reported at around 26%. As I said, we strongly believe it's above physical violence, and it's just that there's under reporting on sexual violence. And then child-headed households, in 2002, it was around 14 million. But in 2014, it has been reported around 7 million. And as you note, we currently have about 7.1 million South Africans that are living with HIV. And in many instances, it's single people. So you also assimilate it to those numbers. And then in terms of transport for learners, we haven't done a study in terms of transport and how children are exposed to become more vulnerable and exposed to violence when they are getting to school. And it's something that we really, really need to think about, because it's important for us to know. It exposes them to accidents and to also violence. So this is something that we should consider. And in terms of the schools that we work with and the research that we do, in all the districts that we work in, one, we start by ensuring that there's a MOU in the province, and then in the district, the schools that are in the district that we work in become our partners. We would like to cover all of them, but as it has been said, we are not able because of the resources. But then in terms of the response and the support from the decision makers in each of these provinces, it has been very good. More so because I think society and the professionals is acknowledging that there is a need to work together, because the problem is far, far more than individuals. So we need partnerships. And we actually do make sure that there's partnership even with the communities, because we can never win without working with the communities. And then how we ensure that we are in more than just the five provinces, my colleagues have indicated, capacity building of trainers who will then go and train other people is one way that we use. And then, as Dudu mentioned, there's inter-ministerial committees that we sit in, there's forums at a provincial level down to the district level. In that way, we are increasing our ability to reach more than what, say, the children can be able to do. And yes, and then we acknowledge there has been so much attention to children that are able-bodied, and we've been slow in coming into managing children that are disabled. So what we've done is that we are working on an inclusive education package, which is a package that includes every other child. One, right now, there are schools that are specializing, special needs schools that we work with, but inclusive education is promoting the fact that those children must be mainstreamed into the schools, and teachers and the children must be capacitated in order to be able to support those children. There's more work that needs to be done around that area, and we acknowledge that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have completed the responses. I'll check with the members if there are follow-ups. Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you, Chair. When you speak about teachers being trained and the courses that you give, do you interact with SACE, our body that draws up CPTD, the Continual Professional Training and Development? Because it could be that your courses overlap with theirs. And then the other thing, the gentleman spoke about speaking to municipalities with regards to safety. What happens if a school falls outside the municipal boundaries? Who do you speak to then with regard to the safety of our learners? Because many schools are on farms or, as I said, outside the municipal boundaries. And that's where lots of violence also takes place amongst our children. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I wanted to check also whether it's possible for you to give us a list of those schools that you have partnered with, so that members can also do their oversight, and then what is the distinguishing feature that you have, like if I visit a school, how will I know that this school is part of the program of Save the Child? Because I think it becomes very important as we do oversight to know that the school receives the necessary support. And then also as a follow-up on the response sums given with regard to the support that you are getting, does it translate into action? And then also, I want to understand that whether there has been a change of mindset in the way that municipalities are budgeting or viewing things. Because like if you look at the IDPs of most of the municipalities, you find that there are certain areas that are neglected in terms of prioritization and the area of children and ECDs is one area that even this committee has already talked to it, that there are still, that there is still that neglect that is there, that we see all the time as we visit or as we look at the IDPs of the different municipalities. And then immediately after you have responded, if there are no further follow-ups, I will give the department to say a few words because we have a person that deals with safety from DBE here with us. Thank you very much.
I'll start with the first one. It's a very difficult question. And we don't really have a great relationship with this. We're starting to have conversations, but some units are not the easiest to work with sometimes. And it's always work in progress. Navigating the system is a challenge. We do work well, we have a relationship with the HDP CETA, for instance, around the accreditation of our courses. But it's an ongoing struggle. But even the conversation hasn't really been around, the credits, etc. But just striking that relationship has been very hard. And it's a similar response to the chair around how it translates into action. The reason why Free State, because we started with a district in the Free State, and we extended to province, is because there is an appetite for take up and follow up, and that doesn't mean it's across all the districts. But so action depends on public servants, how ready they are to be open to partnerships, not to view them as competition or questioning their existence as public servants, but just to say the challenge is big, and we've got a number of NGOs who, they might be small, but they can help you to move this from here to here. That varies. Some don't, some do. But again, I will say that we've been very fortunate in that even through the department, we've been able to open more doors. But if provinces don't bite, they don't bite. And we need to move to those that are willing to be assisted. And the change of mindset is a critical one. I mean, what we're good at and safe is to evaluate the work that we do. And it will be interesting for us once over a period of time to see how much beyond just the artificial support, how much of that has really translated into a change in culture in the way that municipalities do work. Because sometimes you find these municipalities are richer than dead. One during this time they do very well, another time they regress. So there's clearly an issue there. But we work through SALDA. We've got a very good relationship that ensures that all corners are looked at. We will provide through Llewellyn a list of the schools where we work so that you're able to see the kind of work that we do and in what area of work that we do the work.
Thank you. Just in addition to what the CEO have alluded to, in terms of municipality, it's true, a municipality differ from one to one. Children's issue is centered within the special program unit, which is a container for a stew of variety of issues. So it depends on the passion of the person who is responsible for that. If the person has a passion for youth, then the youth program in that municipality thrives. If the person has a passion for children's issues, then the children's program in that municipality thrives. So it's a very small unit which is completely under-resourced. So we are working with SALCA to advocate in terms of how can we ensure that we build the capacity of special needs program so that it can holistically address all the programs that speak to youth, children, and women. In most of the municipalities, the focus on youth, some women, and children is very well. 2013, we did a baseline in one of the district municipalities, and out of all municipalities, only two, which translated to about 2% of municipalities responding to children's issues. But also that those were done at ad hoc basis, as and when there is a calendar event during child protection issue, there will be a 50,000 that is used for awareness raising. Other than that, there is nothing. So it's the issue of building capacity, creating understanding of municipalities. And then in terms of IDP, we still have a long way to go, because I think the first entry point is create a collective understanding and help municipalities develop municipal action plan for children, and then that can find expression into the IDP. So we're still at the very entry level. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I thought maybe I would respond to the honorable member who asked a question, then what? With everything that Save the Children has presented in terms of evidence that violence is happening and violence is hurting children, then what? What we believe needs to happen is that all of us, as we are sitting here, we are advocates in our own respect. We are advocates in our own homes. We are advocates in our own areas of influence. So what we are doing is that we are having this conversation today. It's one of the things that one of the actions that every one of us can take. We have dialogues at community levels. We have dialogues at just last week we had a dialogue or a workshop with senior officials of government trying to drive this agenda of violence, that we can end violence if we do our bit in our small areas. We can contribute towards ending violence at different levels of our influence. Thank you.
Okay. I also would like to share with the honourable members that the Minister of Social Development signed a global document for South Africa to be a pathfinder country. That means South Africa is committed to having a strong political will to end violence. South Africa is committed to accelerated action and strengthening collaborations in terms of violence, and we have, as a country, guidance on the indicators that we will be reporting to globally. And again, Save the Children, working with UNICEF and ISS, has developed three policy briefs for honorable members and different departments. When they make decisions about violence, what is it that they should focus on? We are saying there's need to use the resources we have right now to prevent violence from occurring. We are also saying there's a need to use the resources we have now to provide, we have policies, but to put them into action and be able to measure the action that we are implementing. And we are saying, yes, research has been done, it needs to be translated now into action. And with that, we have proposed the interventions to do, has actually spoken to them, because we believe if honorable members hold the different service providers accountable, we can make a difference. We will make the list of schools available so that when you get there, you are able to hold the leaders of the schools accountable. And the different departments should be able to report and monitor violence as it occurs and need to be responsive. We are also saying we need to be more efficient. As I said earlier, we have the resources. Let's use them more efficiently. Good quality services can be implemented, and we are all of us need to facilitate collaboration and coordination, because the voice of the child is still heard out there, and the voice of the child is asking, can I be safe? can I be healthy? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Department.
Thanks, Chair, and honourable members and colleagues from Save the Children. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. We just need to confirm that we do have a working relationship that seeks to strengthen our areas. Particularly, we had initiated sort of a process to strengthen our response to corporal punishment through the positive behavior initiative processes, which Save the Children are a bit ahead, and there's an understanding that at the point when the DBE rolls out the protocol, which it has printed now, which is in distribution to schools, at the point of training, we will then be able to connect with the Save the Children as they are the pace setters in that regard. That was our understanding. But secondly, there's an interest that we receive the detailed research in terms of the reflections on data here, because there are specific chapters that find expression in a number of our existing policies. I'm not sure if Chairperson, the committee has already been made aware that the department is convening the CFTL conference in June, where the minister is taking a stock of the period the DBE has sort of in the last 10 years been involved in care and support, to try to check how far we have come in dealing with and responding to social ills. And I'm sure that the children will be participating in that together with UNICEF to ensure that all the chapters that are referred here, because we have a better footprint, the only area that now the minister and the department is sort of battling with its impact. Things are happening. There are programs. We are doing something. Colleagues and partners are doing something in particular corners, either in 3, 5, 7, or 9 provinces. We need this at the June conference on CSTL to talk to one another in one house and say, this is what we do, what kind of impact, and if there is any, who is having a better footprint in a particular chapter because of the vastness of the responsibilities. You are aware of the decision of us, the Minister of Basic Education, through the presidential injunction that we take over a big chunk of the ECD to be integrated into basic education in the coming sort of term, where from the very young age, the ECD component would strengthen our grade. Those are very serious challenges in terms of the state of readiness and the kind of the social. So all what I'm saying, Chair, is that we appreciate this kind of footprints. They sharpen what we have in place. We will be talking to the portfolio committee on the 25th on school safety, and maybe before that date. There's a lot of collaboration in terms of the profile that the Save the Children outlined that we'll be tapping into in how best some of the chapters need further strengthening. Thank you.
Honorable
Matisse.
Thank you, Chair. As much as I appreciate the presentation that we received from Safe School, the fact that they have existed for so long, it would have been quite informative for us to know the impact as such. Mm-hmm. To say, for instance, we have worked in the Free State, and these are the results of our impact within that school. So that could actually inform the Department of Basic Education, because I have a feeling that because of the fact that they don't self-advertise the achievement, it makes it difficult for them to be able to progress into different provinces to ensure that in all the provinces they have a footprint there.
So it would be good to actually maybe even have a presentation from them, if they can send it to us, to say, this is the impact, this is what we are capable of doing, so that we can actually be able to advocate for them as well when the department comes to say, this is what SAFE, the school, has done in the Free State. And we really would like to see more expansion and more support. I mean, I'm sure the fact that they are not progressing to other provinces could be the resources, you know, they are not capacitated as well. So we can also be able to assist and advocate on that issue. So I would really urge that, you know, even if they are coming back next time, or if it's possible, they could send us a presentation to say, you know, we have worked with so many learners that had experienced violence, sexual violence, and this is what we have done. In terms of learning, the results have improved because of what we've done. These are the feeding, this school is a feeding school to, you know, to the first of the school, and the results of matric have been like this. So we need to be able to actually see the evidence to say, you know, what is it that they've achieved.
Okay, thank you very much. Also to the department, thanks for the input that you have made and for briefing us about the progress that you are making in terms of dealing with this important matter. You know, like, I think that both the work of the department cannot be discounted to nothing. And even though all the information has been put in, it has not been put into today's report. I would, on that note, agree with Honorable Matthew on the issue of the report, like a refined one, which illustrates all the work that has been done, because really, for us as a portfolio committee, it becomes very easy when we have all the facts and we are able to even become your ears and your eyes, you know, to continue to interact. So we'll appreciate that report be sent to the Secretary of the Committee. It's a pity Honorable Waters came when the meeting has already, you know, progressed to this far, but you are welcomed, and we hope that when we have the next round, you'll be able to contribute to the discussions. I would just like to appreciate the work that you are doing at the moment and the efforts that you are making to make sure that, you know, I can hear when you report, you don't even know where to touch, because there are so many things that are facing you with regard to the child, and you want to cover all of them. So we appreciate the work that you are doing and the commitment to making sure that we are able to improve the life of the child. It's a pity, like, sometimes you don't get the response that you have desired. But we hope that with information, you know, trickling down to the people will later catch the train on the way. But we want to call on the department, because we see the children as a strategic partner. Also appreciating that you have engaged with them and continue to engage with them. But what I'm suggesting is that let's try and strengthen that relationship and make sure that the expansion becomes broadened up to reach other provinces, and then also we are able to channel our self-profile so that we are able to achieve our objectives effectively. Because in my view, all the time I have seen, you know, Save the Child as a big organization, like an international organization, but you know, the challenges that you are raising of lack of funding, you know, they become, you know, quite scary. Members, on that basis, I would like to thank you for the contribution to this item. We still have another item as to the schedule of the meeting. It's a pending item. Chairperson, you know, there are members that are leaving and they have continued. Sorry? Maybe it's because of the budget vote. Some of the members are debating and are expected to be there, and we know that there are smaller parties that do not have enough representation, so people have to juggle the work. So you'll excuse us as they leave the meeting. I saw the CEO raise her hands.
I want to thank the honourable members, but also to deal with the 99 years, that we are not 99 years in South Africa. As part of it, Save the Children as a global movement has been there for that long, but in South Africa we haven't been that long. But we do have... We have been... It's a very complicated... It's like the provinces merging international. We've been existing in different forms, in different provinces for quite a number of years, but as a proudly South African Save the Children, we're 4 years old. And we believe we've achieved a great deal in those 4 years old.
We thought the 99 years is inherent. Oh, okay. Members, the next item on the agenda, colleague from Save the Children, if you want to proceed with us in the meeting, you are allowed because it's a public setup. But in terms of the agenda of today, we have got a pending item that deals with outstanding minutes and reports. So whilst the secretariat is still dealing with the, you know, the in-house issues, can we take just a few minutes to bring tea and water and then come back to the session? Thank you.
It's only that the network comes and goes. The network comes and goes.
If I went there, I would never make it.
I was supposed to work up at 4
But
did you get it?
Most of the time they're
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Actually, I think I'm a bit
too. Hey.
here, they came with no friends. I'm calling you now.
Also, if people are not particularly enthusiastic, with our limited resources, we can't be enthusiastic.
I saw your thing.
Thank you very much.
Are you able to get it to us?
I don't know.
I saw it, Pastor was able to access this thing, but now I can't.
Thank you.
children with that.
Come and ask them, I'll tell you what happened.
We don't have a Quran.
She's here.
colleagues, let's find a report, a draft report on the petition of residents of Greater Eden Vale, no? That one that we dealt with a few weeks ago. At the top there, it has got rule 347. On that paragraph, has got 347 because there's no identifying feature. No, there was a petition about Eden Vale area and housing. I think we must be specific about the province, because there are so many Eden Vales in South Africa and Grimstone. Did you get it? You can go through it once we are waiting for Honorable Basel. Members, can we engage with the transport? In the meantime, we'll delay the adoption so that when Honorable Basson comes, we just adopt. Let's engage with this report. It's a report on the petition that was drafted by Honorable Mike Waters and submitted to the Speaker of the National Assembly, and which was later referred to the Portfolio Committee regarding the a need to investigate pressure on schools in the Indian Vale area and the fact that no state schools are planned in Greenstone to accommodate the increasing number of learners. This petition was submitted in terms of Rule 347. Are there issues that you have seen, members, with regard to this petition? I know that some of the members were not there, but but going through the report, you understand. I'm proposing that let's put the name of the province, province, and then also on the page where we talk about Mr. Mufuwe from the department, let's write his portfolio position in the department. On page 2, Mr. Musu. Oh, okay. Okay, no problem. I didn't see the top one.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, under the recommendation,
okay.
I think that is supposed to be the main issue. Nowhere does it say what our view was. And in my recollection, on the Honorable Chair, that remember the petition was brought where it argued for additional school infrastructure, in particular for Greenstone Primary. Now my further recollection, then the Education Department in Gauteng then put onto the table the fact that the existing public facilities is more than adequate to cater for the needs of the people, including Greenstone, and that therefore there is no need for additional in-school infrastructure to cater for Greenstone in a particular level. And I think that we should actually put under our recommendations, Honorable Chair.
Okay. I think the Secretary is here, Mr. Bandi.
What is our role here? Is it to recommend that the school cannot be built because the district was, or we request a further investigation on this issue? What is our role?
The portfolio had a position that of course we are aware that there are no future plans like this. The department, it was highlighted in the meeting that it's clear that there are no future plans, but currently as the situation stands, we agree with the department that the schools that are there, they are adequate enough
to cater for the learners, particularly also after getting a report from the department that most of the learners are flowing out of the area. The schools are almost empty. I'm sure it's about 4 schools that were affected. They're almost empty. So now the portfolio committee said the status quo must remain, but future plans must be put in place that the school can be catered in future, looking at the size of the area, the growth, the expansion of the area. And then I don't know about the issue of the land. There was an issue about the land that was raised.
I was not part of the meeting, but reading from the report, I could see that they are saying most of the schools in the
which
are not full in capacity,
which
they are catering kids from Tembisa and the surrounding areas, and there's no land available according to them in Kingston, and also there's no land in Tembisa that can accommodate a structure of the school, but there is land. It is something like Charena or Indi, which is about 7 kilometers from Tembisa. What are we saying that we recommend that, I don't know how you recommend it. Are you saying the school, we agree as a committee, that the school can be built at that particular 2 places? Because Tembisa does not have any place, Greenstone does not have a place. But even Greenstone is not full, schools are not full in Tembisa. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Bakwan, for coming back. And then now we'll revert back to the committee note. When you speak, please just address the issues to the mic so that we get recorded. Members, I will just start the formalities. Actually, I didn't have a draft report that we have to consider the follow committee and adopt. Relates to the petition that was submitted to the Speaker's office, a petition from the residents of Greater Eden Vale calling for the National Assembly to investigate pressure on schools in the Eden Vale area and the fact that no state schools are planned in the Greenstone area to accommodate increasing number of learners. And then this petition has been submitted in terms of Rule 347 by Honorable Mike Waters. As you would recall, we have dealt with this matter as the portfolio committee, and today we are just here to adopt the report from that meeting. I open the floor for interaction with the report. Honorable Basson, Honorable Mguni, Honorable Botes, Honorable Kosa. In that order, please.
Maybe because I arrived late, Chairperson,
no,
are we not adopting the minutes? So now we must first have an input. Okay. I thought that on that day when we had the meeting with the Gauteng province and the basic education and the honorable Vater, the petition was solved that Gauteng followed the correct procedures and it should just communicate that to the resident and people. So I thought that the matter was resolved. I didn't know that we must again open up for discussion again. Thank you.
Chairperson, I must indicate I was not part of the meeting because of other parliamentary commitments.
Yeah.
But I have read the report. looking at number three, which I presume should be the recommendation, what is it that you recommend as a portfolio committee? I think it's a bit silent, but it should be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we say that school should be, you know, there should be a planned action, you know, that it should be built, whatever the case, you know, but here it looks like they were still referring. We are giving the National Assembly another task to resend this thing to us. If we can be specific and say the portfolio committee adhere to this thing and then they recommend such that this. But basically, when you look at this the report, if you agree with the report, there's no space. It says there's no space available at the Greenstone. If you want to build in Greenstone, there's no space available. And two, all the schools there are not filled to capacity. You see, which it looks like now that the information that we got through the petition is not correct, that the schools are full. It's because they even cater people who are coming from outside. Isn't it that I'm not discussing that, what you said. Isn't it that the policy says you start with the people who are staying next to the school? If it was people from Tembisa that were brought there, the petition, our recommendation would be different. They say, no, can we consider the two, Terena and Edwin, where the school can be built, so that they can cater for this. But if the two people from Tembisa and whatever are not catered in Greenstone, and they are apart from going to Greenstone, that means the school will be empty. So I think we should be putting in there, say, no, we're satisfied that there's no space in Greenstone, and we adhered to the petition, but then we don't think this can be built there.
Okay. The first point that you must note, Mr. Bandy, is that let's change this part of conclusion into a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but this first paragraph is an opening statement, because you can't just go to a recommendation with the other
guys.
So they will follow there. Maybe they will stipulate the numbers, but number one and all that. Let's proceed, Honorable Kosa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In page 3, it speaks of page 3 going to page 4 of 3 schools that are within the radius of 2 and 3 kilometers, meaning that the children in the third petition can be catered in those schools, which tells the committee that there is really currently no need for a new school.
Yeah, that's
the first recommendation.
It's a first recommendation that we think the department need to read to it. So, Chairperson, if you may allow me that I don't know if you need us to go page by page, but I wanted to propose that we put the conclusion as a recommendation that we adopt this report.
Okay. Honorable Voters.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chairman, I'm on page 7 and our recommendation.
Page 7?
Oh, I will go here.
I will be your same report.
Am I right? Can I speak on page 7 or should I wait?
Yes, you can speak.
Yes.
I think it's the way
the page is. I have page 7 here, but okay, point 6, portfolio committee recommendation.
Oh, we're dealing with a different report, Chair.
This one of the waters on the Eden Vale petition.
How many pages do you have in total? Let us be together.
I'm the newest member here, so I think they're for
questions. Yeah, I know.
Up until page 8.
Page 5.
It's ending at page 5.
And they are, but this is a formal, this is the document of Parliament.
Well, I can see you have the correct.
Those are minutes.
No, this is the report. This is a minute.
Yeah, it's not a report, the minute.
This is the report you are doing.
I think also we must note that point, because the minutes must also correspond with the report.
Yeah.
So let's get the minutes and just check the recommendations that are made in the minutes, and then
where are the minutes?
I'm saying
reporting.
No, I'm saying let's look at the recommendation that Honorable Bote is talking to, so that we don't do repeat.
It's the 18th April. On recommendation.
Okay, can you proceed with your point? Okay, before that, Mr. Bandi.
Chair, thank you. If we want to proceed that way, that's fine. I wanted to make a suggestion regarding the recommendation based on inputs from members. If you allow me, I can go to the report and try to capture what members say.
You know what, let me allow the members to talk and then I'll give you a chance, so that when you talk, you are already ripping everything out, because we're going to be writing. Honorable Bote.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm speaking to the minutes and the report. In terms of the minutes, that I think we need to correct, it's page 7. The first bullet point, where it says Honorable Waters should continue to engage with the Gauteng Department of Education on any facts, etc. I just think, Honorable Chairperson, that is not entirely what we have agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
We have agreed that we appreciated the fact that a member came and raised a petition, but in unequivocal terms, we have concluded that the Department of Education have adhered to the policy prescripts in terms of the establishment of school infrastructure. So I think in terms of the minutes, that point of Mr. Waters should actually to engage, that he should continue to engage, that point we should remove it in terms of the minutes, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay.
Chairperson, I also support the point of Mr. Waters, because really there was no further engagement proposed to them. The matter was closed. That is, the Gauteng Department of Education has followed all the protocols and they have done its work thoroughly. That is just to communicate with the petitioners or those who signed the petition. I also want to go back to this, to say that that conclusion can be recommendations, as you have suggested, because I agree with the point that the first one, that the committee, the information and documents submitted by the Gauteng Department of Education in response to the petition sufficiently addresses the matter raised in the petition. So that is part of a recommendation. And the another point is the portfolio was satisfied that the response is adequate in addressing the concerns raised by the petitioner. So the matter was concluded at that, and we even thank the Gauteng province for doing such a thorough work. The points that are raised by Honorable Akota on preschools, those were the schools that it was said, those schools still have space. If they have problem with those green ones, the Greenstone Ward school, that is, they can send because it's within the reach radius of kilometers that the children are at. So for us, as we have minutes here, and we have what I suggest really that they should speak one voice each to the minutes and the report. They should have the same recommendation. Thank you, Chair.
Chair.
I want to speak off record. I request the chairperson to bring us to order. I just want to check as to what would be happening if we were behaving like this while they were here. Bring us back to order. When we deal with a report, it be a report. When we deal with minutes, and it be minutes. If they were here, then there would be confusion.
Okay.
That's why I requested to speak off record.
Okay. You know what, Honorable Members, the reason why I allowed that is because Honorable Bota was speaking from the minute, and it's on the same net. So, like, that synergy must still exist between the minutes and the report. Hence, I said, let's look at what is crafted in the minutes so that we align it with what is in the report. So it's not to say that we were confused when we said they must come out together. We wanted to make sure that they talk to each other. But I think even when they were there, we were still going to approach it the same way because there's nothing, you know, amiss here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Why don't we start by adopting the minutes before we do the report? Would that be?
We are still talking.
In actual fact, colleagues, there is no stipulated way in which you have to do things. We can deal with the report and then finish with the minutes. As far as you do those to you adopt a minute and you also adopt there's no specific order that is stipulated. So let's go to the adoption because I believe that we but before we go to the adoption I promised Mr. Bandi that chance to talk.
Thank you, Chair. The way we understand members to be saying we can start the conclusion the way it is on page 5 of the report, which will basically be summarizing the position of the committee. Under 3, the statement reads, the portfolio committee on basic education having considered the petition from the residents up to the end of that statement reports that, and then the next paragraph, the information and documentation submitted by the Gauteng Department of Education in response to the petition sufficiently addresses the matters raised in the petition. Next statement, the portfolio committee is satisfied that the response is adequate in addressing the concerns raised by the petition. Petitioners. Now, the important point, members are suggesting that maybe we should put the position of the committee after that statement, which may go something like the committee notes that there is no need for a new school.
Mm-hmm.
As the existing schools are not fully occupied to capacity. That will be the first point. The second point, which members also referred to, there is no space available
in Greenstone.
I wanted to maybe check the issue of space. I'm not sure as to when they request that we build school in Edenvale, they have been identified that thing. I'm not sure as to really there is no space. It's really there is no space. Because if we put that, I just see us maybe being challenged if there is space there.
Okay, Mr. Brown.
I think if we can write that the portfolio committee were satisfied by the reasons given by the Gauteng department, I was just stopping it there because we cannot put what because there are reasons they are there. One is issue of whatever the capacity and the like.
You know what, like, I think that thing still has to be captured because I remember very well because during the engagement in the portfolio committee, like, all of us at some point we were thinking that we are talking about now, and even the chairperson highlighted that talking about plans, future plans. So I think somewhere, somehow, that's where the point of engaging with the petitioner comes in, about future plans. That's where they say that GDE must talk to the petitioners regarding future plans of infrastructure in the area. So I think that's where it features, but it must not be an excuse for not building a school. That one is clear that we are not building a school. But in terms of future plans, we even agree that the department must also start identifying the stock of land that are available so that they don't have a problem of putting up schools when that need arises. So I don't know, Mr. Brown, can you?
Thank you, Chair. You've brought up another part of our recommendation, but if I can just get members' attention, this would be my suggestion, and I'll just by Mr. Bundy as well, but that point C is not a conclusion, because it's just called recommendation. Mm-hmm. At the end of that first paragraph, we say submitted in terms of Rule 347, we don't say reports that, we say recommends the following.
Yeah.
And it is, I've now got three and you've brought a fourth one. The first one is that the information and documentation submitted by the Gauteng Department response to the petition sufficiently addresses the matter raised. Number two, the portfolio committee satisfies that the response by the Gauteng Department is adequate and in addressing the concerns raised by the petitioners. And then you brought the one on. The other one that Honourable Borges wants is that, the PC further agrees that schools in the affected areas are adequate to service the learners in the area or in the affected area. And then your point would be a fifth one, speaking to that the Gauteng Department communicates its future plans with petitioners and affected communities going forward.
Mm.
That is more or less what I've
Can you
close the matter?
Yeah.
Adopt it.
Yes,
I'm saying
the discussion.
Let's go to the adoption.
Which
move on.
I move
adoptions
with amendment.
Yes. Oh, Chairperson, I move the adoption of the meeting of the amendment.
Report.
Of the report. Oh,
with
amendments, I want to also to do the minutes as well because we have done them already.
Okay, Honorable Kwasa.
Chairperson, I second the move for the adoption.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to the other report. Is the second and third quarter report?
The second and third quarter report.
the report that we had for some time, and we were supposed to adopt in the previous meeting. So, because the time constraints, we could not.
Chairperson, maybe if you can assist that by reading the headline of the report.
It's a report of the portfolio committee on the second quarter, and third quarter performance of the department. Do you have that report with you? Okay. Members, can we engage with the report? This report was given to you electronically and even physically. So I hope that you have read it. Can we move according to page 1, 2, 2 and 3? Are there any issues? Page 4 and 5.
The fourth quarter report.
From page 6 and 7. Page 8 and 9.
Second and third quarter.
Page 10 and 11. Page 12 and 13. Can I ask a question? I don't know. Very tricky. Mr. Banti and Mr. Brown, on page 13, there's a statement there on the number of schools provided with electricity, so I see on the second bullet, no? The remainder of the project were removed from the list due to various reasons. Didn't the department give us the reasons? Or was it only various reasons like this? Because like I would suppose that we might have unless it is the report that they gave as is. We were quoting verbatim the report.
The next statement. The statement that follows.
Okay.
We could possibly remove the earlier statement.
Because yes, you can take out that sentence and say. That sentence, I think it's misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
But it must talk. It must talk. So I think they must make it talk, because if we start from the department attributed to the reasons for division, it must talk. Yeah, it must make sense.
For instance, it gives you an explanation. If you read the sentence, the paragraph,
in totality it gives, even if you take out that sentence, you still get the context of what they are talking about.
I'm just saying, Chairperson, you know, when you know, when you say the remainder of the project will remove from the list due to harassment, full stop. The department attributed the reasons for deviation to the close out, and because then it does not sound well. I think they can, there's a way. Because isn't it that this one is going to be read by other people? You said, see, we will be knowing. You know, but if we're not there? I think, but what I was suggesting,
I was suggesting is that it must talk like saying that maybe there were projects that were removed due to the following reasons: deviation to the closeout and reconciliation of the principal. What? You understand? That's what I'm trying to be saying. So it gives sense to the
name. The reason why I'm saying that this time it still makes sense is that already you have noted a deviation at the top when you say a total of 372 were completed out of 535, because it raises a question, why is there a deviation? And then you say that the department attributed the reason for deviation to close out reconciliation and all that. Page 29, the last paragraph, transfers and substitution. In the transfer to entities, entity conditional grant had been made as scheduled. Expect, I think you must correct that part. Expect. Like I wanted to check on this. I think I don't know. Like on page 21, payment of capital assets, the second sentence, which starts with the process of appointing contractors for water and sanitation had been completed. The construction of these facilities had resumed in Eastern Cape and Limpopo Province. Invoices for this project were expected before him. I think, I don't know whether it's the same program on page 19. The same wording has been used on paragraph 5314, the process of appointing contractors for water sanitation has been completed and all that up to the provinces. Like, is this by coincidence? Is it the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, yes?
The explanation is the same. The in the other section is under capital assets, but also referring to the RCD program. So yeah, that particular statement is the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
It talks to the same thing. Page 22 and 25. Page 24,
26. Page 24. Okay. 4.6.1. Matrix second chance program. This first sentence, I don't know, the program was currently printing resources for 2018 examination. Well, is it the program that's printing? The program was currently printing resources for 2018 examination.
So we'll replace it with department.
Mm.
Yeah, I change the department. And is it was or is it current? What is current?
It's current. It's what currently printing resources. Examination. Page 32 and 35.
page 34, gentlemen.
Is it picture?
It's the portfolio observations number. Let's check them somehow. It was noted that both learners rejected work from the neighboring from the neighboring countries. Maybe if you can check that sentence.
Bullet like number.
The last bullet on page 34, or the last sentence, in the second last sentence, it was noted that most learners were rejected.
Is it incorrect compared? I'm just asking
honorable.
Sorry, okay. It's because now we are alone. So I think is it because the sentence there says there were learners who were not loaded and on the system, and then most of these learners that were not loaded, that were rejected were from the what were you querying?
No, that the rejected is just independent. Page 36, 37. On the recommendation. Members, if we are okay with the report, can we move for the adoption? Can we move for the adoption? There are no further issues.
We are present there. Adopted it.
Honorable
the person may move for the adoption of the report.
Any second.
Chair, second the adoption.
Thank you. Members, let's try and fast track. It's about 18 minutes past 12. So that we finish by the latest, by 1 and a half of the
day.
Yes, we must finish fast. Let's go to the other report. It's on the 18th National Teaching Award. It's a very thin document. It's a background. And then the program of the event, the address by the Minister of Basic Education and the Minister of the representative of the President, Minister Khaleme. And the award themselves. Can we?
Ah, we were there.
You have gone through this report.
You were there. Award.
Yes.
Yeah, the award.
Okay. We are on page 3, remember. Page 3. We are moving to page 45. Page 6. Is there any interaction with the report, Honorable Majeka?
No, Chair, I was going to propose the adoption of the report.
Okay, thank you very much. Any second?
Before I sit down, you know, we did indicate that I don't know whether we should talk with here or we talk with into our study group.
No,
I'm not going
to study group. That's your matter.
No, you know, the acknowledgement. You know, we're not happy. We're not happy as a proposed COVID. Yet we're not acknowledged there. You see? Or they did not see us. Or they, so we want acknowledgement. It's our right to be acknowledged as members of
Parliament.
What type of acknowledgement
do
you want to receive? Because I think that by invitation,
they did not
or you wanted to be introduced.
Not even introduced, they just let go, and when you welcome or you welcome the members, you mention the people. And we were even unhappy the allocations that we were put.
Is it?
Oh, I thought that is out of minute.
The reason why I'm saying this, members, that we must put it on record, is because even this, there's a budget that always comes out from the department that talks to the National Teacher Award. And, you know, like, even our view, as always reflected by the chairperson, is that we support this award. And we don't want teachers to go unrecognized, particularly the performing ones, you know. So it's something that is working for the good of our own work, you know, as the portfolio committee. So if you have got issues, you must raise them so that they are also recorded properly. Thank you very much. Honorable Basson.
Chairperson, it's not to say we do not acknowledge the work done by the department to acknowledge a good performing educator. We are pleased with that. The only thing that we were complaining for was that as members of portfolio committee, we were totally not recognized. We were it not exist, comrade, as Honorable Majek has said. And even we were even complaining the placement, the setting, we were placed in the corner there, at the back in the darkness. It's just, you know, we are members of parliament, and then we are committee members relevant to the occasion. We must be recognized. Thus, we demand that. Thank you.
Okay, indeed it's true. Like in the past, when we attended these hours, I think that it was, you know, the table of members. It was right there at the front.
Yeah.
So it was not like the usual practice. So I think that the chairperson will have to raise that matter as the leader of the portfolio. But I will also talk to the minister and the deputy about this. You know, I'm looking Thank you very much. Can we receive the seconder, Honorable Nguni?
Now I second.
What are you seconding?
No, Chair. We'll go to the next report, Honorable Member. It's also a short report on the official release of National Senior Certificate in France. I'll start on page 1 and 2. I'm going to page 3 and 4. 3, 4, 5. Yes, page 3, 4, 5. Are there any issues arising from the report? Members, if there are no further issues, can we adopt the report? Members, Honorable Mugin?
Even there, Jefferson, before I move, no, I was not happy. No, I was not part of the delegation. But I followed the program through television. You see? You see, you could see people being moved there.
Yeah.
You could see people being moved, members of the portfolio committee.
Mm.
And what is happening there, I don't know. But the experience that I was seeing, no. People of the portfolio committee are not that much recognized. In fact, they are supposed to be in front of the business, but they cannot be excused for another person, MEC or director or whatever. You understand? So these people they were excused for are reporting to them. So we are belittling the members of the committee. I was totally not able to follow it well. I was not happy.
Thank you, Chairperson. It will seem just supporting what is being said by Nguni. And there is a pity that Mr. Honorable Nguni was not there. It was what we have seen is what we even complained when they were even Comrade Honorable Kosa even complained for Mr. Volmik, the Professor Volmik, who was pressed in the chair that he couldn't even sit. The way we were treated, we were shifted from chair to chair, from chair, backward, is not it. They must organize their things correct. They must be organized and say that these seats are for members of Parliament and these seats are MECs, so that we just sit in our correct seats, not being shifted around us if we were uninvited to the fact of Jefferson.
I have noted the concern and I will relay the message. Can you second, please?
I have moved.
You were not even there.
Can you get a second? Honorable Mandela.
I said what you said.
Thank you.
She was there.
Honorable
Nguni wants to
move and
second. That's my concern.
Can we go to the report of the portfolio committee on NCT dialogue on decolonizing South African schooling? We have only 2 pages, members.
This
report is about the NECT dialogue on decolonizing South African schooling. We only have 2 pages to this report. Can you browse through it? Honorable Person?
Yeah, I'm browsing through it. What was this? Where was this, Wuka? It's the one that
you were there.
You were there.
I was there and I wanted to know, but it's not specified where was it. Is it not the one which was in constitutional
delegation? You were there.
Okay.
Okay.
I propose the adoption.
No, just state it on record.
On record.
Hi,
my name is Chairperson. I was there. And I propose that actually we adopt
Thank
you. Yeah, I'm not saying.
Members, can we second this motion? I know that you were not there, but on the basis of that, you have
produced a
report.
You were there.
You have produced a report. Honorable Kosa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second the adoption of the report.
Thank you very much. We move to the next report. It's a further report. Please show. It's a report on the oversight of Visit Tubutavela and Okanganaba Education District in Mpumalanga. I suppose that all of us in the Vela, I thought on the the report is tabled before you. Can you go through it up to page 3? This report, this is a member of the report. On time. On the table report.
It's an old battery.
Okay. You know what, I don't know if members you did go through the report, but it's a very old report. It must go to Parliament. Because like by the time we come back, most of our reports must be sitting in Parliament. You know, table them. I don't know, because there is a meeting next week. We can still adopt it next week, so that it costs a bit lower. So I want to propose that let's not be worth it. And then please go through it, and then let's go to the minutes. At least if we can capture all the minutes, and then we are left with only a report. Can we go to
the report is actually
our agreed members on that one?
Agreed.
Okay, and then we go to the first set of minutes.
13.
February. The one of 13 February. It was the minutes on school readiness and what on school readiness for 2018 and outcomes of the MSC exam. Page 1. Up to Joyce. Page 4 and 5. Can I check Mr. Bandini on the use page of the word geography?
Page four.
On the 2.1, the first sentence, over the veracity of the data. Is it the correct reflection of the statement?
Or you prefer credibility?
It's credibility, you know. I have to put the credibility. Is it? I don't know. I'm just raising the point on the board. It has been a topic for some time in the portfolio committee.
Top. On.
I want to put it off. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. I wanted to put
your finger, not your nail.
The nail is longer than the finger. The nail comes first.
Seven.
page 8.
Honorable Uguni.
I move for the adoption of this unit.
Thank you very much. Any second, Honorable Kosa.
Seconded.
Thank you.
We go to the next page, which is April. April, the 17th. It's a very short and I often
use the
The 17th of April, where we dealt with
a record on the annual performance plan of the department for 2018-19 and then page 1, 2, and 3. It's very short.
The only problem, Chairperson, is the Davis.
They keep on putting
Davis. And it's present. On page 7 we have corrected the that first bullet point in it, that it should be taken out.
No, we don't take it out. We call, instead of Honorable Water,
it will
say
be
the petitioner, actually GDE to engage with the petitioner. That we must take out Honorable Water and put GDE. Where water is, and where GDE is, we put the petitioner and then done.
Do you mean now, Chairperson, we propose that a GDE should engage with the petitioner?
Yes, that's what we also agreed upon on the board.
Was it not, you reconstructed the sentence so well with the input there that at least it should be under as a point of recommendation that the GDE should engage with their future plans.
Yes.
Yeah, not with the petitioners now.
Yes, yeah.
The petitioner thing is resolved. Now the point was, we suggested that the GDE should engage with on future plans.
Yes, you are correct. It's fine, Honorable Basson.
Thank you.
That is noted. Thank you. And then page 8. Can we move for the adoption? action if there are no issues arising. Honorable Barton.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the meeting with amendment.
Any second?
Any second?
Honorable Costa.
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you, members. And the minutes for the 24th of April.
I move Chairperson for the adoption of the minutes.
I second to although the photos are missing.
Ah.
We had the photo session.
So thank you very much, members. The 8th of May, we had a progress report on the implementation of service stream model and plans for the 4th industrial revolution. Including entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Few members, page 1, 2 and 3. It's a very short set of meaning. And you know how comprehensive are these two
and
subjects.
And it was well presented.
Page 4 and 5. Any matters arising? Any corrections? Any move for the adoption of the
law? Don't want us to go.
Members, I know we are so hungry for the adoption.
More for you, right there.
Anyone move for the adoption, please? Okay, we'll defer this minute and then we'll wait again.
I don't want to be subjected to the ethics committee, like other members, so I move that way in just 2 minutes before the
thank you very much, Honorable Bojo. Can we get a second? Thank you very much, members, for your cooperation.
Yeah.
I wish you a very warm day.
No, you know what? I found out that
is the meeting closed?
The
is the meeting closed?
Members,
meeting agenda.
Rejected by the members here. We have dealt with the agenda for today in full, so the meeting is then adjourned. Maybe there's going to be another meeting. What are we doing? It's also about safety in school. So this was a great test for the safety. See you then.